Hey, everybody. So we have a special treat today. This is a kickoff call for, as you know, we're getting ready to start hardcore training for Don't Stop Believing, which is an event that I want as many No BS women to do. And so today we have a treat. We have Susie Hatley here, who is a fellow coach alongside me, and she specializes in mobility and movement and kind of what I would consider a specialist for all of you who are sitting around riding the fence and using your fear of getting injured or pushing your body too hard as what I would consider a viable excuse. Like, this is like, I'm scared of this. This is something like I really need to consider. So I brought her in to talk about it today. So Susie, tell the No BS women a little bit about your background and stuff.
So I have a university degree in kinesiology. And when I graduated, I worked in a pain center. That's where I got my chops. And then while I was there, I found yoga. And interestingly, I had chronic pain at the time. The yoga helped me. So then I started to teach it to the people in the clinic. They got better faster. And so then I just kind of kept at it. And more people came to me who have had pain. So I've been working with people in pain since, gosh, now it's like 30 years. And the key is that it makes a lot of sense that you're afraid, because if you have pain now, you don't want to have more pain. And there was a lot of times the belief that working out is hard and it's painful. And if I'm already in this much pain, then what on earth am I going to be signing up for? Like, it's just going to be more pain.
Exactly. What is kinesiology?
So it's the study of human movement. So it's like a combination of exercise, physiology, biomechanics, anatomy.
Okay. Sounds like that would be a lot of study that you would need to do. That's awesome though. All right. Well, this is one of the things like I want to know is like, did you become passionate about mobility and movement because of your pain? Or like, how did you, like, what is kind of your story? So most of my women know my story, which is I was always overweight. I was never an athlete. I was not the kind of person that, like, I was the girl in PE that the teacher would put on the bench because none of the kids wanted me on their team. So they would just set me out. And then when I started losing my weight, when I wanted to lose weight, I wanted to move first. I just always wanted to walk, run, do things like I'd watched my baby brother do all of his life. So for me, getting into movement was about doing something that I'd always dreamed of doing. And then I went out and did it. How did you decide, like, how did you come to like loving movement and such?
Well, I was always a mover. So all of my life I've been a mover. I think the passion part of this was when I found myself in the pain clinic, and I never sort of had a dream of working in a pain clinic, but when I was there and I started to see people getting better faster, and I saw like the needless suffering. And then when I was sort of out about in the world and my young, naive, excited self of like, wow, there are a lot of people who have pain and have no idea that they don't have to suffer.
Okay.
And then when I got into like doing a lot of my work, I was going against the grain of what the evidence was saying, which was you got to push through pain and you just got to like, yeah, it was just about pushing through pain. But what I was finding is that there was another way that you could actually learn to move that felt a lot better and got better results. And I got a lot of pushback in my community. I got a lot of pushback, but thankfully I was not like in the medical world and not in the medical model. So I had my own standard of care. I didn't have to follow their standard of care. And then 10 years later, funnily enough, evidence caught up to what I was doing. So it's awesome. It's really about, there are a lot of people who have pain. They don't have to have it, but they haven't learned because there's not a lot of, people saying you can actually get out of pain. There's still a lot of conversation about you got to live with it. And especially if you're over 55, it's like, well, what do you expect? I mean, you're 55. Like,
right.
I mean, really.
We're just supposed to like shrivel up and die once we hit 55.
Yeah, which is complete and utter nonsense, honestly. Like, tissue can change at any age, even if you have arthritis, even if you have rheumatoid arthritis, even if you have, like, you're recovering from cancer, you've been through a joint surgery, like all of those things. Yep. They are things that have happened for sure. There are things you need to think about working with yourself for sure. And if you can work through a process that's very supportive, that helps you trust your body, amazing change can happen.
So a lot of our members, it's the arthritis. Even my mom, my mother has, she was born with deformed feet, like where she didn't have, basically she had, the ankles just didn't form right. And so she had like corrective shoes. And then now in her, she's, you know, in her 60s, she's had lupus, the part that like kind of attacks the joints and things like that. She has really bad arthritis. She's had two knee replacements, but it's her feet. Like, what do you say to our people who are like, you say like it can be fixed or it can be regenerative. Like, can you just dive in a little bit more on that? Because I think they need this hope, because I think that you're right. They're sold this bill of shit that once you get to a certain point, it's like, well, get you some meds and hope for the best.
How I like to describe it is I'm going to use a non-movement example. So my husband has psoriasis. So psoriasis is a skin condition. It gets really, really red. It can flake off and super scaly, really itchy. And I mean, actually itch is not even the word to describe it, like burns and the whole bit. Anyway, what he discovered is that when he shifted up his diet, when he shifted up a bunch of things around stress, then the psoriasis condition stopped expressing itself through the skin. And okay, the way I'm describing that's really important, because it's not like the switch for psoriasis got turned off. We're not curing anything.
Okay.
But this, so the switch, the genetic switch is still there, but he's now shifted up the way he is in his life that it's not being expressed. So lupus is something that can be a switch. There's some thought that there's like a genetic piece to it. There's something that has occurred physiologically in your system. Your mom has had feet that when she was born, there was a certain shape to them that was just the way it is. People can be born, have a dislocated hip if they come up breech sometimes, and then the femur head or the thigh bone doesn't fit quite as well in the hip socket. All of those things are structurally normal. Like they're normal every day. Like those are things that happen.
Right.
And we still have our muscles. We still have our connective tissue, and that can adapt. And so that tissue can adapt to the scenario that's occurring. So someone with lupus, for example, a lot of times they can get flare-ups if they put too much weight through their wrists, if they're doing, say, yoga, for example, and they're doing downward dogs or other arm balances, like their wrists can really flare up. So then what might happen is it's not about bearing load through the wrists. Maybe there's other things that you need to do in your body to help you move, but not particularly that movement. Or if you're really bent on doing the movement, then let's help you do other strengthening and other stabilizing work to help you do it. But knowing that you have a tendency toward that flare up, well, let's just mitigate for it. But that doesn't mean you don't need to keep moving.
Well, I think that's what I really want to dive into is, you know, the majority. So our people are wanting to sign up for Don't Stop Believing, which is where they're going to walk or run, depending on whatever they want to do. I would say this call is probably majority of them really would like to just get to where they can walk again, like walk in a purposeful way, not just walk like to the store, walk to their mailbox, but they're either going to walk for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And what is keeping a lot of them from signing up and from taking on this challenge is, I have bad knees. I've got a bad hip. Some of it's from arthritis. Some of it is just, you know, I've got a lot of weight to lose. And I was reading a comment in our Facebook group of someone who has just a significant amount of weight to lose. And for right now, when she's walking 10 to 15 minutes, like her body's burning, like, you know, she can feel the burn. Like, what do you want to just say to those people about anything that's helpful, like either with mindset or just practicality? What would you say to those people? Because I love the idea of what you're saying is like, there are ways to kind of do this for yourself, mm-hmm. You know?
I think there are two key things that I would like people to know. The first is that research now shows that running does not cause arthritis. But there has been a lot of belief that if that was the case, right?
I hope my mother just heard that.
So there's a lot that we think is true that we're now starting to see is not. So there's a quote of motion is lotion, and that's actually from an orthopedic surgeon, and it's the idea is that the motion is lubricating the joints. There's synovial fluid, which is inside the joints, and it's actually lubricating the joints. So in that way, the movement is helpful.
Okay.
I think the piece that can really stump people though, is like, it's painful. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to move because it's painful. And sometimes that pain can be simply stiffness from not moving very much. Sometimes that pain can be just like achiness. And I think when you come into a program where there's an opportunity to learn how to trust your body and that there's the support there. Cause I was reading about Don't Stop Believing and there's a lot of support inside of that. Yeah. And then if you have a place where you can learn to discern between what say stiffness is and what say bad pain is, then you can start to recognize what that spectrum is of mm-hmm. to know like what is too much. The other piece that I want to add is that we hear all about the latest exercise thing that's out there. And I think some people can think I have to work so hard at this process. When the reality is that you have to remember the turtle and the hare, is that you have to just focus on where you're at now.
Yeah.
And just do what you do. So a great example, like when I had my kids, I had a set of twins by C-section and I was so swollen when I came home and I could walk like maybe 60 yards, like maybe. And I just couldn't go any further, but then it was like 61 yards. I was measuring like the cement in my sidewalk. You know, and then it took a little while, but bit by bit by bit, that literally, if you have those sidewalk panels, you could go like one panel at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's just, if you think about the turtle, that the turtle, the slow motion of the turtle consistently done, that's what connects to the change. And when you have the support of what's in Don't Stop Believing, then you really can discern between, okay, is this actually something that's a problem or is this actually a good thing that I'm feeling, the stiffness that I'm feeling that I'm needing to move through, which is an important thing to move through.
Yeah. And I do think that that's one of the things that makes our event a lot more special. You know, I think a lot of our women are on the fence because they're used to hearing about traditional races where you go, you sign up, you don't get anything but some emails on where to show up on the race day. You getting trained is your responsibility. And, you know, one of the things that I pride myself on is that we're not only just coaching you, like we're going to give you a training plan, but we're actually answering questions and we're helping you like think through things. We're helping you with your mindset. You know, there's just a lot of good things that are going on in there. And so you presented recently to our 55 plus group.
So I did a presentation. It was in January. It was either early January and December that I was in the plus 55 group. Yeah.
Yeah. And can you share a little bit about what you taught in terms of movement and aging?
Yeah. Because the key is that age doesn't matter, right? Most of my clientele now are over 65 and they're well into their 70s. And I mean, I've had someone recently, she's playing pickleball. She fell on her knees and she developed a patellofemoral syndrome. And then 2 weeks later, she was better and back on playing pickleball. So it's like we have this belief that it takes longer to get better when you're older. And I'm seeing time and time again, that is simply not true. It's how we're doing the movement. That's the first one. The second one is that tissue can change at any age. And that when you can like develop an awareness of your body and learn how your body is moving and what those sensations are with what your movement is, then you can really discern if on that day the arthritis is saying, actually, no, we need you to stop moving, or if the arthritis is actually saying, no, we want you to move.
Right.
And so when you can discern what those sensations are and what they mean for you specifically, then you just have a lot more evidence to know and to trust what your body is saying and asking of you.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to skip ahead. I know we were going to do the three myths, but since we're on there, you're coming on Thursday, May 19th to our group, which is not very long from now. And you're going to be talking about pain to possibility with all of our women and stuff. Can you just give them a little bit about like what they can expect from that?
Well, a key thing is that a lot of people have beliefs around what the recovery process is. Like it's going to be hard. and it's going to be long. And the reality is when you know what your body is asking for and you deliver to your body, you develop, you get the evidence. Like, and so it's so important because you're all of your experiences in your body are interpreted by our brain. Like we know this from the coaching world, but like science is saying this all over the place. And when you can develop that, the evidence to really show that you can do it, that's when you make this shift from pain to possibility. And when you can develop the understanding of how your body moves, what those sensations are, and that's what I'll be helping you understand more of and helping you really tune into, okay, what are those pain sensations? Or like, is that a stiffness sensation? And how is your body actually meant to move? And what does ease feel like in your body? And imagine feeling what ease could be like when you're out for your walk or when you're out for your run, that it doesn't have to be this, it doesn't have to be this horrid experience.
Like a grind.
Yeah. Where at the end of it, you're like, oh my God, what have I just done to myself?
Exactly. Well, I will tell you one of the things that so I'm getting ready to do my own half marathon in a couple of weeks. And in the past, I have been the kind that has probably overtrained and I'm the one like, oh my God, what have I done to myself and all that kind of stuff. This time I decided that I was going to run and walk, but I was going to give myself permission that for every long run, especially on the longer ones, that I could walk as much as I wanted, that I wanted every single one of them to end where I felt like I could have kept going. Like I wasn't just like gassed, miserable, and needing to be in the bed the rest of the fucking day, because that's how I used to do it. And I have enjoyed this training so much more. Like my body has felt better. I've been able to keep up with other physical activities I enjoy doing. I've done races in the past where there was no doing anything else. So I love that. I love like just, I mean, because we're both coaches, I love the idea of learning how to move your body with permission, like permission to be where you're at each day with no judgment, not like thinking your body's broken because one day it can do something and the other day it just needs more rest or it needs a lighter activity. That is something that I literally didn't even start doing until like about 3 years ago, you know? And so for me, personally, I want to be the kind of person that's moving until the day she dies. Mm-hmm. I've watched grandmothers, my current grandmother. I still have one living grandmother. She started real young. We all did in my family, but she's on a cane. She has the hump back. She's only like 83 years old, you know, and she barely can get around and she never exercised. She never did a lot of movement. She's never even been really injured, but you can just tell that she never purposely moved her body. She sat at a desk all the time and came home and sat in a chair and her body adapted to that. And I think that that's something you kind of said beautifully earlier, is that our bodies are always adapting no matter how old we are. And I think we have to remember our body loves us so much that it will adapt to whatever we're doing for it. Mm-hmm. Even if we're doing something like sitting in a chair all the time, it'll adapt to that too. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's bust the three myths. First myth, I need to take the weight off first before I can get started with movement. What say you, Susie?
Unfortunately, you hear this from doctors all the time, right? Because all this extra weight that's being applied to your joints because you're like, you've heard that, right? And the reality is that if you start moving and you gain more strength, the weight will actually come off faster.
Yeah, I agree.
You just need to honor your structure. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people all the time, we don't lose weight because we exercise, but we lose weight because we start caring for our bodies in that way. Like, you know, most people, they exercise to be able to eat more. It's like, no, we're exercising so we can live more. That's what we're trying to do here. All right. I can't meet the minimum baseline for training. So we've given them a plan that has like, we're doing ours by time. It's not by mileage. I don't know if you've actually seen it, but they can walk for an hour, they can walk for two, or they can walk for three. And so we are giving them a structure where they're always just doing timed walks. So if they feel like right now they can't hardly meet the minimum baselines, they can hardly move currently, does doing anything exercise related truly count?
Yeah.
Your face is like, what the fuck? Of course.
Well, the thing is remember, this is what DSB has created. So it's like, if you don't fall in the window, it doesn't mean you don't do it. It means that, so if the 10 minutes is the baseline, then if you can only do 3 minutes, start at 3 minutes. If you can only walk, like me, I'm walking from my stairs like 60 yards. Like that was not 10 minutes, although it even taken me 10 minutes on the day. But it's like you do what you can.
Yes.
And so maybe you count off the little cement blocks on the sidewalk, but you start where you can. And you just do that. Like, because you'll be up to 10 minutes in no time flat if you just kind of keep doing the 1 minute at a time, the 3 minutes at the time, and then you start believing in yourself as you do it, because as you add those cement blocks on the sidewalk one by one by one, then your brain's sort of seeing, like, look, you can do it. And then lo and behold, you're at the corner of the road. And then you're around the block, and then you're around two blocks, you know?
And I think that there's a couple things here. One, I want people to join Don't Stop Believing so that they can hear their defeatist thinking and use it as a way to reprogram how they talk to themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say the first walk is for 10 minutes and you can just like maybe 5 is what you got. I would much rather somebody do 5 minutes, hear old shitty come swamping in that, oh, you're behind, you're all this other stuff, and then learn how to encourage yourself. For me, that is the purpose of Don't Stop Believing in movement. It was the first time in my life that I was showing up for something that triggered me to have negative thinking. And I learned how to consciously redirect it all the time. I would just tell myself, no, we're not going to think like that. Like, we're leaving our house. This is great. Like, you're actually moving. You weren't doing that 2 weeks ago, like to really show yourself like where you're evolving. And I think the other thing that I think people don't really realize, Cara Lowenthal said this one time at something I was at, and I thought it was brilliant. She said, the hardest is going 0 to 1 because you're having to decide. The most amount of pain is experienced there. The most amount of like, it's that first little bit of getting everything going, but then 1 to 2 is a little easier. 2 to 3 is even easier. And I think that happens when you start moving. It's like, you may not be able to do the very beginning of the schedule as it's written, but as your body is like, oh, we're doing this. Well, I better start lubing some joints. Like it's like the Tin Man. It's like for a while you need Dorothy squirting you, but then your body is like, oh, this is what we're doing. And it starts squirting itself. So I think that's just something for them to consider, is that don't beat yourself up and not do this at all because you can't start exactly where you think you should. I think that's one of the things that I want everybody to take away. Last one, if I'm in pain now and plan to sign up for Don't Stop Believing or start moving, I'm just going to be asking for more pain later. I think you kind of already touched on it, but just remind them one more time.
Well, I think what's underneath that is fear.
Yes.
And it's totally normal to be afraid. Yeah. And it builds upon the 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3 that you're just mentioning. And it's totally normal to be afraid. It's totally normal when you walk out the door and you're about to go for the 5 minutes of walking that you're wondering if you could even make 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, it's totally normal. And in many ways, I'd say, of course, you're feeling that way. And then when you recognize that this is a program that has trust at its core and trusting your own body, and you've got a support team to help you, then fear turns into hope.
Yeah.
And then you begin to discern those sensations in your body. And then you really recognize, oh, okay, I recognize that one. I recognize that one. Then you know, okay, this is when I can push. This is when I need to rest. So you level up in your understanding about what your body is doing. And then there's a sort of this love back and forth between you and your body, but you can't get to that love back and forth until you take that first step.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's also so neat too, because this totally parallels with everything we do in weight loss and trusting ourselves around food and like learning how to really listen to what our body's needing when it comes to food. You know, a lot of times people come to us so broken in their relationship with food. It's like they don't trust themselves around things. They want to avoid stuff. And then the second they get it, they go ham on eating. It just is such a good way of like really thinking about, you know, some days you're just hungrier. You shouldn't feel shame or guilt because you eat on a day when you're hungrier. Just like some days you're not as hungry and you want to trust and love yourself enough to know, like, today I don't have to have the food in order for me to feel like I'm listening to my needs. Mm-hmm. So anything else you want to add about like what you're going to be teaching or how excited you are?
Well, again, it comes back to really helping people know that they can have change. So it's, I think the key is that if you're on the call here, listening to this, that there's something inside of you that's saying yes.
Yeah.
And then there's something else that's maybe saying, I don't know, come back to the yes for a moment and be like, okay, what's that yes really about? Like, what's the why for that yes? Mm-hmm. And really sit there. Because the reality is that pain can change. I can say that without a doubt, pain can change. And it's just a matter of having the support. And with that support, learning what you need to do, recognizing that you are unique and that you'll learn it as you go. And I mean, what better place to learn it?
Yeah. I just want to remind everybody that you have me doing mindset calls every single month. You have Coach Jane doing all the technical questions, all those kinds of things. You have the entire Facebook community that's private to Don't Stop Believing, where everybody's going to be cheering each other along, motivating each other, calling each other out and being like, bitch, I saw that you didn't post and you posted the other day about your walk. Where are you? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have Susie teaching a very special workshop for all of you that, you know, need to be having some more like hope when it comes to your pain levels and starting to see your future where you are moving and where you are taking care of your body. And you're not just living in fear of your body. Well, I appreciate it, lady. I can't wait. I'm coming to the pain impossibility.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.